views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Don't whistle like you've been up all morning.
Whistling like a bird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Bill? Bob?
Aaron?
Aaron, Bob.
How's it going?
Kanata?
Hello there.
I don't know about you on that side of the pond, but on this side of the pond, we were all driving like maniacs until what? What time did you get home, Bob?
You texted me at like 11 something? Yeah, around 11 o'clock last night.
Yeah, we got home like 12:30. Yeah. So 3 o'clock, we're still laying in bed listening to Coast going, this is going to suck tomorrow. We've got to go to sleep. It's terrible. Yeah.
Or tomorrow will be today.
Yeah, well, it was today, and we knew the clock was ticking. I hate that when you know it. So, for those of you out there who actually got a good night's sleep, woke up early this morning, and you're feeling all refreshed.
Yeah, don't call in.
With your happy thoughts. But if you have to, the phone number is 530-605-4567. You're listening to We the People Radio. You have a great webpage to join us on, wethepeopleradio.us. And Robert has done an exceptional job yet again. And got a lot of information for you this morning. And our guest this morning is Kanata Nadir, which is his alias name. But it's the only name we know, so that's what we call him. Which is, you know, just what you do. He is, he's in London, and he has been working. How long, Kanata, have you been working on this Islamic issue?
I've been studying Islam and as the issue for, we're getting some feedback. I'm experiencing some feedback.
Yeah, you sound a little bit like you're in a little, like you're in a box, but it's not bad, is it?
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll turn my speakers down. Well, I've been looking at the issue for about 7 or 8 years, 2 years on my own, and then more participation in the English Defense League, trying to help out that process in the what we call the counter-jihad movement.
And your English Defense League kind of lifted off around the same time as our Tea Party movement, didn't it?
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And for similar reasons, in a way, different issues, but similar reasons.
Yeah, I think the understanding was that the government's not doing their job.
Imagine that. And they're usually so good at it, too. We don't understand what happened. the people in the English Defense League are looking to defend English, way of life, I guess.
Well, English culture, traditional values, hope that they can be preserved, not threatened. That's not to say that English people are opposed to 100% all change. Otherwise, you know, we'd throw out history. But things have to happen in a smooth and transitional and informative and a way in which there's consent. And often that's not happening, certainly not with the subject we're going to be discussing tonight.
And interestingly enough, same kind of parallel. I read some articles. I will get into the protest you guys had yesterday, but I was reading about it last night to see what happened because I knew it was coming, so I thought I'd read the results. Sure enough, you guys are all knuckle-dragging haters. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they write the same stuff about you that they write about us. We're actually fighting, you know, a similar battle, but in totally different countries, and yet,
right?
The left is the left is the left, huh?
Yeah. They have their agenda that they want to foist on the rest of the people, and unfortunately, these people are also in positions of influence that you and I are not, such as in other parts of the media, which we could talk about, and the political process.
Yeah, it's interesting because as I was reading, I got done reading that, went home, We were listening to Coast, because that's about the only thing going at late at night, you know, middle of the night, I should say. And the guy was a fill-in guest host, and he was having people call in about different conspiracy theories. And they were going to talk about whether they were real or whatever. And the one guy called about the guy that just shot the freshman in college over here.
Oh, yes. I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the guy says, hey, I'm an Islamic terrorist, and I shot him and a bunch of other people because I'm you know, standing up for my guys overseas that are idiots. And the host of the radio show goes, well, now we can't paint everybody with the same brush. We've got to make sure we know what's going on. And I thought, really? Even when the killer says I'm an Islamic terrorist guy, it's like, well, we don't want to call him a Muslim terrorist because that would be bad. Huh.
Well, he's protecting his licensing and his job probably by saying that as well.
Well, I still have no respect for that. I mean, the guy, he confessed.
Yeah, yeah.
Or professed, I guess. More professed, I guess.
And that's right.
Yeah, take them for what they say. And what they do. You guys lost a citizen recently to our
Yes. I mean, there's a lot. I was just wondering, Aaron, if should I just sort of hit sort of an outline of what maybe we could touch on today, and you could.
You're so organized. You go right ahead.
You could direct me.
It sounds like maybe you should.
Yeah. First of all, I'm very aware that this is just a few days after September 11th, and I'm just I feel responsible to do the best I can in memory of those people who died and those who've suffered and continue to suffer because of the attack. And I think we have an obligation to their memory to fully understand what happened, why it happened, and try to ensure it doesn't happen again. But to just in a two-hour program, I was thinking that it'll go quickly, but just some things to touch on, perhaps is a comment I have about ABC Nightline, which may appeal to you American readers or listeners and TV viewers. The sentencing of the Muslim murderers of Lee Rigby. I mean, last time I was on, which was in June 2013, that was a long time ago. They say a week in politics is a long time, but even a half is an eon. The other thing is that in the last 18 months, there have been two official reports that have rocked this country as regards the Islamification of the UK. One is about the Trojan horse, about schools, Muslims taking over schools in this country, mostly in Birmingham. Then another report recently, which is stirred on the Rotherham demonstration yesterday, called entitled by Dr. Alexis J. Child sexual exploitation in Rotherham. And another report, which is not official, but I'm sure has been read by officials, is called just Easy Meat, Multiculturalism, Islam, and Child Sex Slavery. Another thought is we touch on the EDL. We could talk about that. And then there's the international situation. So I have thoughts about all those. I mean, do you want to
Sure. And we should tell people, are you in London or are you just near London?
I live in London.
You live in London, that's what I thought.
Yes, I'm a member of the London division of the English Defense League.
Yeah, so when we refer to EDL, that's English Defense League. And we have we've quite a bit of information online about that. Go ahead, start at the beginning. Go ahead and start at the beginning. Oh, yeah. Well, hold on, I lied. Bub's giving me the high sign. So we're gonna try to do our breaks every 15 minutes here so we can actually get your information in an organized fashion.
Right.
So our first official break will happen now, and we'll be back in 2 minutes. We're talking to Kanan and Nadir. We're getting an update on our Islamification of Britain, actually. Oh, maybe we're not taking it. Are we doing that, Bob? We're having random music play. Don't mind that random music in the background.
And the extended dance mix on of Carly Simon there.
Extended dance mix. We all know that won't work this morning. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good.
your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Honor Flight Northern California is currently seeking donations for Shasta County Community Flight. It is our intention to honor all those remaining World War II veterans in Shasta County with a free 3-day trip to Washington, D.C. Donation checks or money orders can be made out to Honor Flight Northern California. Call 357-3380 on where to send them or drop them off at Classy Cafe on Athens Avenue, Jones Fort on East Cypress Avenue, or New West Medical Incorporated on Churn Creek Road.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
London and calling through the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. London and calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling.
Out of the cupboard.
Holy
Beatlemania.
It's
like a closet.
London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of thing. The ice is coming. The sun's zooming in.
We do have London calling this morning. How nice is that?
Yeah.
Talk to Israel this month. We're talking to London. We're getting around.
Yeah, we're world travelers.
From right here in the control room. You've joined We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. And if I will remember to click my listen live button, I'll join you on the chat. I kind of forgot the last 15, 20 minutes. Chat room's a great place to ask questions if you'd like or make comments that we can pass on to our guest. We have him on Skype from London. And if you'd like to call in, it's 530-605-4567. So, okay, Kanona, you laid out for us a game plan.
Yeah, I'll just touch on a few things. You mentioned the murder of an aid worker. He was born in England and grew up in Scotland. His name's David Haynes. He was murdered late yesterday or something, but the news came out this morning by this Islamic group in ISIS, or whatever they're calling themselves, Islamic State. But the politicians were quick to put this murder in context. You might know that David Cameron has now been quoted as saying, in reference to ISIS, quote, "They claim to do this in the name of Islam. That is nonsense. Islam is a religion of peace. They are not Muslims. They are monsters."
Hmm.
Well, there you go.
Another blow to the religion of peace theory.
Yes, yes. The last three words of that quote are, I would agree with, but the rest I would disagree with. And it maybe has something to do with his position or his education. I know he was educated in Eton, and I know what they teach about Islam there is quite deficient. So might have just stayed with him, and he hasn't moved on from that. But I'll refer to that sentiment later on. The other thought, initial thought was about the mention again the American connection with our group and the counter-jihad movement in this country is the Boston Marathon attack, of course, that happened in April 2013. And I just think in the last, and that affects us, that we're all connected with this struggle. We know that we have common enemies. And interesting that in the month following that attack, ABC Nightline, do you know about that program?
Oh, yeah, sure. Don't really watch it, but
it used to be popular.
Right. Well, it seems to be popular in the States. They commissioned a reporter to look at the English Defense League and Muslim radicals here, and thinking perhaps that what is here is also there, but more so, and they're trying to try to understand it. But during the making of that documentary, in May, as you'll recall, Lee Rigby was murdered by two Muslims. So the documentary went ahead, of course, highlighted in part by this murder. And the reporter, Lama Hassan, who is a British Muslim woman, decided to use this opportunity to declare to her audience the following statement. Like most Muslims, I condemn any violence committed in the name of Allah. Okay. So this often happens in the media. People there want to spout their understanding of Islam without just to make assertions. And the irony is that during the program itself, she is told that she is wrong, that her understanding of Islam is wrong. And she's told that by the Sharia pushers here in London, the ones that she's trying to cover. And she interviews the people in London and Luton. But interestingly enough, she does not correct them. She does not come from her position of greater knowledge of Islam and say that she is wrong or they are wrong. And the reason, I believe, is that either she's afraid for some reason or she just doesn't have a Islamic piece of scripture to stand on. There's so much wrong in those, so much that is wrong in that statement she made. One is does she speak for most Muslims? No. She's not the caliphate. And she just makes assertions about Allah and violence without any textual references. And also, we are supposed to believe her because she is a Muslim. And with the assumption being that non-Muslims are not able to understand Islam, and therefore must defer to Muslims. And I think it's a lesson to us all, both in this country and the United States, that we shouldn't let the media get away with their unproven propaganda, because that's exactly what it is. We should have the confidence to say that because Islam is a religion that's based on the text, if any human being who could read and think can understand what Islam is about, you don't have to have, there's no esoteric access to understanding of Islam just because one actually believes what they read. So anyway, that is all around us, and I'm sure people in the Tea Party get that sort of, comments all the time they have to deal with from people who are just making propaganda. So what do you think about that?
We see that here, and we hear people, Islam teaches this, that, and the other, and they'll ask them, oh, well, you know, how do you know that, or, you know, something to that effect. Oh, I converted, you know, what, a year ago. I mean, they're like fair weather Muslims. They've never lived in the country. And they, they practice it like any other, we used to have, let's see, when I lived in the East, they had the Orthodox, they had the Orthodox Jewish population, and those guys were really Jewish. I mean, kids wore yarmulkes to school every day. They didn't do anything after sundown on Friday. I mean, that was a really hardcore practice of Judaism. And then there were the other kids who, you know, they went to temple when it was like a big thing. They, sure. you know, they went to, you know, religious education classes. I forget what they called it, but basically religious education classes. But the rest of the time, you know, they were just sort of, they were casually practicing. And I think that's how the Americans are. You can live in this little bubble where it's a religion of peace if you live here.
Sure.
But I think
sure.
if you live over there, you know, it's like, it's kind of like that old revolutionary flag, join or die.
Yeah, yeah. That, and there are varying degrees of devotedness to any religion. And the contention that Allah has nothing to do with violence is just, in my opinion, and I think I could have been having spent some time, many years, proving that Allah is connected with violence, particularly directed toward non-Muslims.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone on that. What is the government's position in light of recent events with this last beheading? Do you think that'll change their position on this so-called coalition that Obama's putting together?
I don't think so. Politically, there isn't the support to certainly there'd be no use of ground troops. And I think that Obama's position seems to be changing toward that. I don't. It's hard to discern. But
and why do you think that is? Why do you think Obama or you know why do you think he doesn't have support in England?
They know he's
the results of the last few Iraq wars and our venture into Afghanistan has not proved to be worthy of the effort in terms of money and lives lost.
Sure, they don't ever go in to win.
It's that's right. How does one define victory in those sort of situations?
No,
I think my opinion, and I think it has some resonance here, is that ISIS can be dealt with in whatever fashion President Obama decides to deal with them. They can be dealt with it in the short term, in some sort of fashion. But unless the leaders of the Western world decide to deal with the theology and doctrines of Islam, unless they are dealt with, these kind of murderers and their mass slaughter mentality will reappear. As they've done periodically over the last 1,400 years, beginning with their leader, Muhammad. And none of the Western leaders, as we've seen from David Cameron's quote, is not willing to do that. They're not willing to accept the Islamic nature of the motivation that commits these people to commit these mass murders and to join together to try to form the caliphate, the Islamic State, and to impose Sharia law on the rest of the world. And you get that sort of enthusiasm for that imposition all over the world. By you mentioned Aaron earlier about the lone Muslim in New Jersey who murdered a person. I mean, there is that mentality, and you just let you deal with that mentality, you're just going to be spinning your wheels. Go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I was going to say when you have people who place no value on human life. I mean, these are guys that are willing to strap bombs to their own kids.
Yeah.
And kids that are excited to run out with the bombs on and moms that are good with it or doing it.
Yeah.
That's something that most of the civilized world can't wrap their mind around. And I think that's why a lot of times they just deny that it's happening because it's so crazy that no one would do that. It's like
that's
they
right.
would.
It's so horrible to think about, but we just need a perspective. We need a historical and more philosophical perspective. If there's a belief system which says that what we think is good is bad and what is bad is good, then we have to accept that belief systems are designed. That's their whole purpose, to help people change their behavior or modify their behavior. And that's what Islam does. If I could just mention since my last coming on the radio program, there was the sentencing of the murders of the British soldier Lee Rigby, and that happened on the 25th of February, 2014.
And that just went to trial just recently.
No, that the trial concluded on the 25th of February. The murder took place in May 2013. And we spoke about it briefly my last time on the radio. But what I find, a brief recap, what actually happened in May 2013, two Muslims originally from Nigeria targeted a British soldier walking around in Woolwich, South London. And in order to, again, revenge what they consider to be attacks on Muslims worldwide, they decided to kill him. They rammed into him with their car, and then they got out and they continued to kill him with knives.
That's right. That was heinous. I remember that.
Yeah. And you guys actually have a couple of videos on your website about that. There's some confusion slightly about this because people said that he was decapitated. Lee Rigby was not decapitated. I'm not sure whether the intention was to decapitate him or not. That hasn't been revealed as far as I know. But he was horribly mutilated. This is also horrible, but let's just try to talk about it forensically and theologically. Lee Rigby could only be identified by his dental records. He was not decapitated, but he was mutilated beyond recognition. And I want to bring in an Islamic precedent for this, because the more devout a Muslim is, the more they want to copy their leader Muhammad. And just let me read a few sentences from their Islamic scripture. After the battle of Uhud, apologize to Arabic friends for if I mispronounce the word.
Oh, that's quite all right.
We're all good.
We're fine with it.
Offend away.
Muhammad found the body of his uncle terribly mutilated by a woman whose father, brother, uncle, and eldest son had been killed at the Battle of Badr. Muhammad's response was, "If God gives me victory over the Quraysh," which was the ruling tribe from Mecca, "in the future, I will mutilate 30 of their men." So, whether they... decapitation is certainly a method that is pleasing to the jihadists, but also mutilation. So at their trial, and this is why I want to tie in with David Cameron again, in the sentencing of by the trial judge, the judge started to make his comment, and he made it very, very clear that what they did was a betrayal of Islam. And the interesting thing about that, that's the exact phrase that David Cameron used the day after the Woolwich murders. Okay, so you have the elites in this society saying the same thing. Cameron said the day after the murder, it was a betrayal of Islam and of the Muslim communities that give so much to our country. Okay, how do these people know this about Islam? I don't know. They only spout about Islam when they do these things. They never write a book about it. It's not like they quote the Quran or the Hadith. So it's interesting they spout that. But also the judge, once he said those words, the defendants themselves stood up in court, shouted out, and had to be taken out of the court. And what they shouted was that, of course, that they were not betraying Islam, that the judge was a liar. And hopefully that's the last words we'll ever hear from them. They actually got a full life sentence with no possibility of parole, and the other guy got a 45 years sentence.
Nice.
So that's them, and hopefully they will end their lives in prison.
Well, I sort of admire the court system over there. I mean, what was it? 8-9 months after the crime, he was actually sentenced. We have a fellow over here that shot up the
Hassan.
Yeah, he shot up that army base. Two, three years ago, and he still hasn't gone to trial. And all we're doing is
calling it workplace violence,
nurturing him in prison.
Well, we're letting him grow his beard, you know.
Right.
So we're on a beard watch, I guess. Hey, we've got to take another really quick break.
Okay.
We will be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio. We have Kanana Nadir on from London today. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Get links to all the articles we'll be talking about.
We took you up and we put you in the backseat. Submission. From year to year, we looked up for the venture.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We are accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
Hailed by the New York Times as a cagey, emotional drama packed with plot twists, The Other Place follows a brilliant scientist as she unravels a 10-year-old mystery that leads her back to a Cape Cod beach house where a revelation awaits her. Directed by Donna Stobie and featuring Lisa Collins, John Welsh, Caitlin Kenyon, and Daniel Beckman, proceeds will benefit the Reading Walk to End Alzheimer's, September 26th through 28th at Old City Hall in Reading. Go to CascadeTheater.org for tickets and showtimes.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The things that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh, no. Set it up. That's me in the corner.
I thought he was in the mirror.
That's me in the corner.
Well, he was in the spotlight.
Losing my religion.
Yeah.
There you go.
Losing his theology.
Wish they'd lose their religion.
Yeah, it's not a religion. It's an ideology.
It's politics. Really, we have an hour and 20 minutes left.
That's right. Plenty of
we're going to say a lot more.
We can straighten the rules out in an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so you've rejoined We the People Radio. Hey, Kinana, I have a last night when I was at the NRA dinner, might as well just throw that out there, which was totally fun. Up in Wairika, I was sending some emails out during the auction part, and one of the ladies in a group that I belong to had sent out a thing about Americans are supposed to be tolerant of everyone, but I think not. Wake up, America. And it was a big, long thing about what happened in London. And so I wrote back to her that we were interviewing you this morning, and she says, that's great, Aaron. The truth needs to get out so people will know that due to their religious beliefs, every part of their life is dictated to them, and their religion must be mixed with their government, their social life, etc. That's why they simply cannot become citizens of other countries, especially ones like ours. Our immigration laws state that before you become a citizen of the USA, you must follow our Constitution, our laws, and be loyal to our country.
He goes, swear allegiance to the country.
Exactly. The whole intent of accepting immigrants to America was that they would assimilate and make our laws, our culture, their beliefs, their own. Muslims cannot, by the very nature of their religion, do that with any degree of honesty or integrity. They have no intention of assimilating, and England is certainly proof of that. Our government is naive to think otherwise based on what other countries are experiencing. So.
Yeah, she understands.
Yeah.
The problem is when a group of people come into a country, to which country are they loyal to? To which processes are they loyal to? What informs their mindset? And in Islam, of course, there's the Sharia law, and the Sharia law is very clear that the political, there's no separation of church and state. That's the difficulty with Islamic teaching vis-a-vis any other country in the world. There's no separation between the spiritual and the non-spiritual, between the political process and the religious practice. There has to be sort of discussion in America, and America is great for that experiment, to have religious people, mostly Christian or certainly non-Muslim for the first 300 years of America's history, trying to inculcate values from various religious belief systems into the American system. And that's an organic thing. That happens smoothly and slowly. And I think that's all for the good. But the Sharia law is set, it's firm, it's concrete, and it shall be imposed by good Muslims everywhere in the world at some point.
But it's opposite of what we believe here, so I don't understand why we would want to bring that in and turn our system upside down. It used to be when you immigrated to another country, you went there to have a better life than where you came from.
Sure.
And live within the boundaries of that country. Now you immigrate to change it and bring your culture with you. And that's a little confusing to me, and we allow that.
Yep.
And now here we are.
Well, we close our eyes to what's really going on. Mm. And that's the really, truly dangerous part. It isn't that the people have a bad, philosophy or bringing in, that kind of stuff. The fact that we don't recognize it for what it is. They say, hey, we're going to kill you because you're infidels. And we go, oh, no, they didn't say that.
Right.
And let's just come on in anyway, and we'll set you up here in this town and build your little empire until you're ready to strike.
And this isn't falling apart yet in London, is it?
Well, I'll mention something along those lines. The other thought I have in my list at the beginning is – just talked specifically about the English Defense League. And this may resonate with you people with the Tea Party movement and demonstrations that you have. When I last spoke in June 2013 here, we were planning two other demonstrations, one in Birmingham and one in Tower Hamlets. The Birmingham demo went off really well. There were some Sikh members there. It just went really well. The Tower Hamlets one that happened in September is most interesting because Tower Hamlets is part of East London, and it has a Muslim mayor. And all the political elites, including the mayor, of course, and the people in the Labour Party, wanted to ban the march by the EDL, wanted to stop us from going into Tower Hamlets. At one point, we were allowed to proceed and do what we wanted to do, which is to gather in public, make some speeches, and go home. But that's a threat to the people who want to control the public narrative. It is the EDL that only provides a free speech zone when it comes to Islam in society. Otherwise, it's just not possible. You're shouted down, you're targeted, you're harassed, and worse. The EDL provides the only free speech zone when it comes to Islam. But in the Tower Hamlets situation, there was a compromise that was reached. We actually did march into Tower Hamlets, but then we were marched out again. And we were not allowed to gather at a park, which is inside Tower Hamlets. And the reason was the police acknowledged that they feared for our public safety and feared for public order. So the violent threats by our enemies worked. And we know those threats were quite thick and many, and the police believed them to be real. And during that speech, Kevin Carroll, one of the leaders of the English Defense League, said there's a problem with troops returning home from Afghanistan. People, what to do with them, how to, you know, give them housing or provide for their care and support when they get back and all that sort of stuff. And he said and made an interesting comment from the stage. He says, what about using the soldiers and their experience to defend freedom of speech, to allow us to march and assemble wherever we want in this country as free English people? And we deal, the state is supposed to deal with threats of violence. But instead, they took the easy way out and said, no, we're not having this because there are too many violent threats. We can't deal with it. Well, if the police are afraid to deal with it and they won't bring in the army, you know, we're up a creek without a paddle. And during that demonstration, Tommy Robinson, just after it was arrested for allowing the speeches to overrun that day by 7 minutes. And I heard he's going to be in court, I think, in November about that.
Seven. So your protest has to have a timetable on it?
Yes. Very, very, very controlled. And also we're what we call kettled. We're put in pens, marked off areas.
Speech zone or whatever?
Yes. Something like that.
Lovely.
That was Tower Hamlets, and we'll go back there again. We'll be going to Downing Street next week, but we could talk about that in a little bit later. But more back to the EDL's history a bit. Well, so Tommy and Kevin gave their speech in Tower Hamlets. And then we had another demo planned for October in Bradford. Well, they left. Tommy and Kevin left the English Defense League, and they were the leaders of the EDL, just 4 days before our national demonstration in Bradford. And our enemies rejoiced. One of the leaders of our enemies, a group that apparently Tommy and Kevin related to, but I don't think they're associated with them anymore, called the Quilliam Society. And when someone of that group said, the English Defense League has been decapitated. So we have been destroyed, they thought. But we continue. The demonstration in Bradford continued. We have a solid core of determined people committed for the long haul. And it's a reflection of what our enemies think of us, that one, we're not self-confident in ourselves to know what we're about. We need to be led around by leaders. And they want to be the leader. Our enemies want to be the leader. Talking from David Cameron to, you know, moderate Muslims to the left in the media, they want to tell people what to do. But we're solid. We're a solid group, and we're not going away. And our Rotherham demonstration, which over 1,200 people attended yesterday, proves that.
It's funny. You guys have exactly the same problem that the Tea Party has had here in this country. I mean, the takeover, really, the attempt from the other side to pretend that it's the leader. The moderate guys that really want to shut off the debate, that now they're going to pretend to be the leader. And then the opposition invents other really implausible phony leaders and installs them through the media. It's a very, very interesting parallel, and all designed with the same bad goal in mind. Hey, we've got to take a final break for this hour.
Okay.
We will be back with Kanan and Nadir. We are talking about the Islamization of everywhere, specifically London and related English places. Be back with you in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Forks, gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you feel like the digital world has left you behind and just a bit bewildered? Locals is here to get you and your business up to date. In an age where 87% of consumers expect businesses to have a website, Locals can help. Website design and implementation, logo creation, VHS to DVD transfers, and much more. You don't need to learn all the digital tricks of the trade. You just need to contact Locals at 515-8335 or online at localsreading.com. For everything digital for yourself or your local business, it's Locals Online Service Company.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
They banned it in Parliament and Brussels too. And even in the schools, the teachers are told, you can't teach the young children of the England of old. Writers like Shakespeare, Milton and Shaw, they don't learn of these heroes in our schools anymore. Or Agin, Cordry, Felder, Arnhem and the Somme, where the brave sons of England before us had gone.
That's the English version of Bob Dylan.
Yeah, but who's the guy that only plays three chords?
George Thorogood.
George Thorogood, that's what I was thinking. cross between Bob Dylan and George Thorogood. Okay, Kanana, we've got like 5 minutes left in this hour. You're sticking with us, so it's not like we're running out of time or anything. But you want to set up the next hour? We'll have to talk about the unpleasantness in the next hour.
Yeah, we can. I just, in general, just to say that we cannot defeat an enemy that we refuse to name accurately, and we're not getting that information or that assistance to understand the situation we're in from our political or media elites. So society is left floundering and left open and is vulnerable, and that's a terrible shame, and it's reflected in our education system, which we could talk about.
Well, we don't seem to want to, you know, call it what it is.
Yeah.
And it's right there in front of our face. What about the woman that was beheaded? We heard about it, but we didn't really hear what happened after that. That was like 10 days ago.
Yes, I haven't. The neighbors say that the man is a Muslim convert. But nothing has come from the police yet. He's being held by the police.
Well, it's pretty, you know, I mean, who else is out there beheading people? Good grief. Well, I mean, when was the last time we had a beheading until these guys showed up?
Yes.
1,000 years ago.
What's the ratio now of Muslims versus
other guys?
National English people in London now. I know their population has really swelled, but is any idea what the numbers are?
Oh, I hate to say. No, I can't say.
Hmm. Well, there's a video that Robert included, or you sent us, I'm not sure which, that Muslims are demanding Sharia law.
Yes.
And that was a London note. Yes. Here from just March of this year.
That was in East London. The concentration is in East London, and as they're more concentrated, they feel more confident to step out into the public arena and promote their understanding of how society should be organized. And the Sharia patrols, they call themselves, are out and about telling people to telling women to cover up and telling people walking around not to have open containers, and to telling non-Muslims quit hanging about the mosque. So, yeah, some of them got a bit aggressive. I think one or two have actually been sentenced to prison for harassment or grievous bodily harm.
You know,
the greater the percentage, that the more we'll see this sort of activity. As you people see in, say, Dearborn, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
There's that confidence that is growing. They're a force to be reckoned with.
Do you think that they will, you know, roll over and, you know, that the government will roll over and accept the Sharia law there?
That's what's the future hold? I don't know.
I mean, are people there? I guess I'm curious. Are people there like people here, where they feel like even though it's staring them right in the face and it's not a good thing and not a good direction to go, well, we don't want to offend anybody, so we just better not say.
It'll be a gradual process. I don't want to paint a false picture of what's happening in this country. You can live your life here and not have anything to do with any of this stuff. It is a process that is so slow. If you're not looking in the right direction, you just don't see it, or you turn away.
Unless you wander into the east side of town and then surprise.
Yeah, until it hits you like a hammer on the head, and sometimes quite graphically.
Do you still have the no-go zones there?
There are places that you don't want to be hanging about, certainly.
Lovely.
And,
This next hour, we're going to get into, there's an article from September 9th of 2014, 1,400 English girls raped by multiculturalism. Yeah. And we'll be discussing that and related unpleasantness in the next hour. Sure. We're talking to Kanan and Adir, live with us from London. Bob, take it away. Give us the official send-off for the news.
All right. Thanks, Aaron and Bill. More of Kanan and Adir live from London next hour on KCNR Shasta Readings, We the People.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Another beheading by Islamic State terrorists. This time, a British aid worker is the victim, David Haynes. The video of his murder released late last night. American University Middle East expert David Rubin is not surprised.
The Islamic State has distinguished themselves by their brutality, and they've made clear at the end of every video who their next victim will be, and they've managed to fulfill their promises of murder.
British Prime Minister David Cameron is condemning the killing, as are President Obama and many other world leaders. Meanwhile, the White House is now characterizing the U.S. mission against the Islamic State as a war.
The Obama administration has been careful to distinguish President Obama's strategy against ISIS from the ground wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. On Thursday, Secretary of State John Kerry preferred to call the mission a counterterrorism operation. But this is what White House spokesman Josh Earnest said on Friday.
The United States is at war with ISIL.
The president says the goal is to degrade and destroy the Islamic State group. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
Officers in three states are on the lookout for whoever ambushed two Pennsylvania state troopers, killing one at a barracks in the Pocono Mountains Friday. After scouring dense woods on foot and by helicopter yesterday, authorities suspect the assailant is no longer in the immediate area. The barracks is in Blooming Grove, a township about 4,000 people. It's about 35 miles east of Scranton. The area they're checking is mostly rural. Mexican officials have posted a hurricane warning from Los Cabos at the Baja California Peninsula's tip northward to the west coast of Cabo San Lazaro and the east coast to La Paz for a rapidly strengthening hurricane Odile. Category 4 now should reach the tip of Baja tonight. This is SRN News.
True story. A Seattle man went to bed with nearly $300,000 in his bank account. By morning, the money had vanished because of some identity thief. Can you imagine? What if some thief got to your life savings? Look, no one can stop all identity theft, but here's what you do. Arm your bank and retirement accounts with LifeLock Ultimate Plus. Yep, LifeLock's best just got better. LifeLock Ultimate Plus is the most comprehensive identity theft protection available, helping protect your identity, your bank and retirement accounts, credit cards, even the equity in your home. How many other ID theft protection services do that? Zero. So why risk it? Get LifeLock Ultimate Plus and sleep easier knowing if a thief goes after your identity or life savings, LifeLock's on it. Visit LifeLock.com now and enter promo code Prager or call and mention Prager to save 10% on your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. 800-921-3820. 800-921-3820. 800-921-3820. Network does not cover all transactions.
Hillary Rodham Clinton is returning to Iowa today to pay tribute to the state's retiring Democratic senator as anticipation builds over the possibility of another presidential campaign by her. Mrs. Clinton and her husband, the former president, are headlining Iowa Senator Tom Harkin's annual steak fry fundraiser today, an event expected to bring more than 5,000 party activists out. Following a summertime book tour, Clinton was making her biggest campaign splash in 2014 so far. This opens a fall of fundraising and campaigning by her for Democrats who are seeking re-election. Samsung is accusing senior executives of domestic rival LG Electronics of intentionally vandalizing its washing machines at retail stores in Germany. It's asking for an official investigation in South Korea, where both of those companies are based. In a statement today, Samsung says it's asking the Central District Prosecutor's Office to investigate. LG says it's all a lie. This is SRN News. California's drought will soon be having an impact on migrants, the kind that fly. Here's SRN's Bob Agnew.
The drought has created dire conditions for what conservationists say is a bigger than normal bird migration starting up now from the Arctic and subarctic. Managers at wildlife refuges say water cutbacks mean they have just a fraction of their normal wetlands this fall for migrating birds to rest and eat. The Nature Conservancy is now working with farmers to lease some 14,000 acres to be flooded on purpose for the birds at different times throughout the spring. Bob Agnew, SRN News.
Two juvenile suspects have confessed to picking clean a pumpkin patch that was cultivated by New Mexico preschoolers. According to police, the two boys admit raiding the pumpkin patch cared for by students at Eastern New Mexico University's Child Development Center. The good news is the school has received dozens of donated pumpkins since the news of the plunder went viral. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Apparently when I go, Willis! And Bob has the red button pushed. You can hear it.
Like now?
Yeah, like now.
We gave him heart failure.
A couple of knuckleheads. Welcome back to Knucklehead Radio. Oh, my gosh. You're listening to We the People, which is synonymous with Knucklehead Radio.
With Aaron.
With Chief Knucklehead. And Bill.
And Bob.
Yeah. And so we're into the second hour here on kind of a tough topic. So, of course, we're goofing around because... otherwise, the stress is too much. But I think unless you really, really aren't paying attention, I think it's probably kind of rude to say you have your head in the sand. I guess we don't talk about heads with these guys. We're talking about the I don't know, the movement of Islam. And do we, hey, Kanana, do we call it radical Islam anymore, or can we just call it Islam now? Because now we all know what they're up to.
Well, I think it's fair to call it radical, because there are Muslims who are not radical, Muslims who do not go to the word radical means go to the roots, and that the people, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, those are radicals because they take seriously their texts. So yeah, radical Islam.
But what about the other guys? Like, okay, because we've done shows with you before, and for those of you that haven't tuned in before or weren't here the first hour, WeThePeopleRadio.us is the website, and we have listed the previous shows on there that we have done with Kanana over, gosh, over the years. First time we spoke to you was in March of 2011. So
sure.
We've been friends for a long time. And learning about how this works in different places, since he's in London, we're obviously in the United States, but similar problems. Now, we've both had people from our countries beheaded by these guys in the Middle East. We were talking about this back in 2011 when nobody thought that they were doing anything bad. It was just a peaceful religion, and we were haters.
Yeah.
And obviously, we...
bigots.
Yeah. And so, obviously, that's not true. So, on the break, you were talking about the Trojan horse thing.
Yes, if you want to talk about that, because that happened earlier this year before the Rotherham situation, which we'll talk about later. The Trojan horse, just a name for a letter that was revealed to the press about how Muslims in Birmingham had committed themselves to overthrowing the various school systems and imposing what the report says, a narrow faith-based ideology. Now these are hardline Islamists, is what the report says, but I would call them radical Muslims. There's only one Islam. Let's not be confused. I think there are many different types of Muslims. Muslims can really not understand or even know their religion, all the way to people who, you know, are super committed. But there's only one Islam. And the more understanding a Muslim has of their religion, the more radically they will behave. So these growing number of Muslims wanted to change the school system. So I think the best way is what they do is go into an area, or not go into, the parents were already there, but they would get together and try to get rid of teachers or head teachers or principals that were not compliant or were not promoting a more radicalized version of Islam. And they'd, in a way, gang up on them, not physically attack, but harass and drive people out until they got their own people in. And so just, I think to illustrate this, it might be best just to mention some examples of what happens at these schools. And there's a report. People go look at it online. Children were told at one assembly, for example, quote, not to listen to Christians as they are all liars.
Wow.
Another
awesome.
Teacher, sorry?
I said that's Bill? Awesome.
Yeah. Another teacher was quoted as saying that the children were lucky to be Muslims and not ignorant like Christians and Jews. So that's basic on, you know, mainstream Islamic stuff.
Isn't it true that a major part of the Muslim population can't read and write?
You mean worldwide or in this country?
I don't know about worldwide, but I think in the Middle East, I think their literacy rate is very low, which confuses me because they have very clear English writing on all the signs we see on these emails we get on their demonstrations. They have all this English writing. Where's that come from if they can't read and write?
Well, yeah, I don't know about the demonstrations in the Middle East, but I know in terms of literacy, the publishing world is not going to get rich by the books they publish in the Middle East or certainly in Muslim majority countries.
that's a good point.
That's a fact. And I know children of devout parents, you know, that they're taught to read the Quran from as early as they can. And the Quran, but they taught to read it in Arabic. So to them, it's a matter of learning the syllables and learning how to read, and they don't even understand what they're saying. And I have a friend who did that for several years until she got a translation. And by the time she was 14, she said, "No, I'm not doing this." And there's been a great rift in her family because of that.
But yet, when you look at these demonstrations, all their signs are written in English.
Yes, yeah, certainly, Muslims in this country are educated, so that they would do that. But yeah, someone's got to be doing it. And there's some funny signs out there that are just the misspellings is interesting.
It's a little bit like the directions that come with, you know, bicycles and stuff made in China.
Just to give you another, fill out the picture a bit. Just about what happens in schools, the more Islamic the school is. It's very common for Muslims not to shake the hands of teachers and or parents, especially people of the opposite sex. So that sort of interaction is diminishing. Children as young as six were told that Western women are just white prostitutes.
Wow.
Music and dancing was banned in one primary school because they are un-Islamic, which is true. So we're talking about integration earlier, and you know that's how does that all fit in? And from the report itself, it says there's an anti-Western rhetoric, particularly anti-U.S. and anti-Israel, and those schools are all in favor of promoting division between Muslim and non-Muslim, and that's crucial because it's not a racial thing. We're accused of being racist and all that, but Islam is not a race. Muslims can be of all races, but the division is between Muslim and non-Muslim, and that's right down the line of Islamic teaching. The Muslims are the best of peoples. Non-Muslims, they're like cattle.
Well, do you believe that Islam is a religion or an ideology?
I would say that those terms are not mutually exclusive. It could be both.
So what about the people who joined, right? who have decided to become Muslims and really don't, you know, read the whole thing.
Sure.
Or they, you know, they're sort of, can you be a fair weather Muslim? I don't know what to call it.
The terms of use.
Yeah, the terms of use. They didn't read the contract. And they're still bumbling around thinking, oh, these are just some crazy guys that got a hold of our book and took it wrong. When all that is really in their book.
Yes.
Is that possible, or are they just kind of faking it?
It's an eye-opener for some people. And it's a dangerous situation to be in. Because apostasy is a crime punishable by death in Islam. People go into it, particularly women, you know, God help them. You know, they fall in love and stuff like that with a Muslim, and they become a Muslim, and they just think it's all about love and everything, love and peace and joy, until it's not.
Until, hey, let's go visit the relatives.
I find it interesting that when you break one of these laws, if it's a Muslim law, you're either beheaded or stoned to death, or your hands are cut off, or your feet are cut off, or, you know, everything is punished with some sort of mutilation.
There's not a lot of recidivism in their
no.
in their deal. Well, talk about the gosh, we got to take another break.
Okay, we'll get into advertisers. Rotherham scandal.
Yeah, we've got to talk about what's going on with women, because that's one of the big things with this that I think just doesn't get handled. And when I read that article, that was when I got a hold of you.
Sure.
All right. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. The article I'm talking about is in there. The title is 1,400 Girls Raped by Multiculturalism. Kind of caught my eye. We'll be right back with our guest, Kenan and Nadir, here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM. Community radio for the North State.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We are accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Vistar Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at vistarbank.com. Vistar Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Whispering was extra creepy on that, Bob. Thanks for that.
My pleasure.
Talking about children and whispering with what we're going to talk about. Yeah. All right, Kinana.
Yep.
Go there.
Right. We mentioned the Rotherham demonstration by the EDL yesterday. Why Rotherham? Well, we've been there several times before. The issue is that EDL have been highlighting a problem that's existed in this country for some time, and it's only the EDL that brought it out into the open. And that is Muslim grooming gangs, Muslim rape or prostitution gangs, have been targeting younger girls as young as 11 for financial and sexual pleasures, gain. They do this by befriending younger girls, get them involved ply them with alcohol, drugs, presents and stuff, pretend to be their lovers, they want to go get married and stuff. And it escalates to there, to where the girls, young girls, are without any support other than their sort of Muslim lover gangs, so-called lover gangs. And there are threats of violence to the families that the families try to intervene. And we're talking about, finally, Dr. Alexis Jay, officially from the establishment, wrote a report which was produced this last month. And they say, this is one quote, "Our conservative estimate is that approximately 1,400 children were sexually exploited over the full inquiry period from 1997 to 2003, and I would emphasize that when they say conservative, they really mean conservative.
And that was just in one town?
That was just in one town, but of course it's a national problem.
Oh, sure.
There's an internal, people have talked about trafficking people internationally, but this is internal trafficking of girls throughout the country. And the issue in terms of what we're talking about today is that is mostly Muslim-related gangs. And I haven't come across a name of a victim or a report that says from the Muslim-related gangs that the girls, any of the girls are Muslim. They're mostly, mostly, vast majority of the girls are non-Muslim. And it works because the wider community supports this process, and they're involved. And the EDL knows that, and now the wider country knows that.
You guys were raising awareness for this with your demonstration yesterday.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but who pushes back on that?
How do you mean push back?
Well, I mean, okay, you're raising awareness. That this has happened to young women in your community, and yet you had like fish fights break out. So who's defending this behavior?
Well, that's a matter of internal politics, I think, in the counter jihad movement. A lot of people don't like the EDL, for various their own various reasons.
Oh, and we should tell people that didn't listen last hour, the EDL is the English Defense League.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's fine. So it's not so much that people may support this child sexual exploitation, but that they are against the EDL for various reasons. Various reasons. That just to mention one other two other points in this official report, and this is why it's so explosive, because we've been talking about this, and there's another report that non-official has gone into depth is this, but this official report admits that within the social care services, the problem was underplayed by senior managers, to put it mildly. And then this is the explosive line. At an operational level, the police gave no priority to child sexual exploitation. Okay. They ignored it. And the head of the police, Sean Wright, there in Rotherham, refuses to resign. It's like there's a some sort of cocoon. Or once you reach a certain level of managerial experience or managerial processes, you just never resign. You don't take responsibility for bad judgments or mistakes in the past and say I'm responsible. I'm sorry, and I leave. You know, maybe the community will grant me my pension, but maybe I don't even deserve that. But nobody ever does that these days. So one of the things we were calling for yesterday is this guy's got to take responsibility, and the whole establishment needs to start taking responsibility for what has happened and what continues to happen. And one of the astonishing things is that files were destroyed by the social services and the police. So it's just astonishing. So we're out on the streets and we're doing the best to make a shout about it. And a lot of people are coming on board to say, you know, this has got to stop and we got to deal with it.
So what does the police department say about that? I mean, the fact that basically now they've been upended for covering this up for so many years.
Well, yeah, Bill is right in that there's other police departments in other parts of the country. One has come out and said that he is aware of that happening in his region. It's in Coventry. And he says they will deal with it, and they deal with it with transparency. So the pressure is on. They know their job's on the line, and they got to come up with the goods at some point. But tangentially, but also linked in terms of the response of the elite, there was a case in January this year where a Muslim rapist was not given any jail time because he did not know that sex with a 13-year-old girl was illegal.
What?
Jeez.
So,
So they were like, oh, okay, sorry. Just don't do it again?
Yeah. And so that raises two questions that are stir the emotions, you could imagine, of people in this country. Is one is, what sort of people are coming into this country? Why are we letting them in? What is their mentality? What is their outlook? What do they think about women? What do they think about girls? And the other thing, of course, is, what sort of judges do we have? Are the judges in this country supposed to protect the innocent and send a signal to future criminals? But they don't.
Yeah, you know, and like, follow the law?
Yeah. It is just mind-numbing, and it causes people to get very, very angry. The directed response to that anger is the English Defense League, and hopefully the demonstration that saw 1,200 people in Rotherham yesterday, we'll see more than that in London next Saturday. Because we're going to symbolically bring the message to the seat of government at Downing Street next Saturday.
Now, are these kids orphans, or do they have parents?
Well, it's a mixture. It can't do justice to the full situation in the time we have, but yeah, it's a mixture of people who are in social services. Yeah, they're taken care of by social services, and the social services personnel were neglectful, say the least, if not complicit in their cooperation with this type of criminality. And some were also children living at home, but were taken in by these so-called lover boys, the love jihad. This is where the leftist narrative of calling people racist fits in, and this is why the police were often afraid to act. They were afraid of being called racist if they took seriously the reports from these girls. And the girls themselves were intimidated, saying that they didn't want to be racist by refusal and fighting back. Why can't people love me no matter where they come in the world? You know, not thinking that there could be another agenda there.
How old are these girls, typically? I'm sure it's a pretty wide range.
Down from 11 upward, so 11, 12, 13, 14.
Oh, my gosh.
What made
this come out in the open, finally? Like, what was the catalyst to make this public?
Well, good question.
Because I'm sure people have known if it's been going on that long.
I credit the EDL have been saying this, and then once the EDL started to say this, no one's going to admit it. But after that, they started to get some prosecutions. You started to see these Muslim gangs being brought to court. And the first court, that case that was brought in, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact details, but it was actually in secret. They refused to allow a public court of these, I think it involved 50 men. It was only announced after the conviction and the sentencing took place. There is a clear line of coincidence, whether it's causal or not, between our feet on the streets and us listening to the pain in our communities and bringing it out into a public demonstration to say it has to be dealt with. I remember one last time I was at Rotherham, it was in, I think, March or May, one of the brothers of the victims... Spoke very well, and he, one line I remember, he says, there's no shame in being a victim.
Yeah.
And we're giving these victims a voice. And people, you know, it's out in the open, so something has to happen. And we have to understand why it's happening. Otherwise, it will continue to happen. As the Jay report says, it is continuing to happen. For all sorts of reasons, society has to come to grips with, in my opinion, the Islamic nature of this process. Now, I'm not saying that men of other religions or none don't commit horrible deeds. We know that. That's not an argument.
Sure.
But this is the terms of gangs working together in the Muslim community. And they've been protected over the years to do that. And in fact, even in the Jay report, which has caused such a stir in the elites because it's official, in 153 pages, they only mention the word Muslim 6 times. All the other 95 times, they used euphemisms for the word Muslim. So there is a reckoning that has to take place. There is a clarity that still has to take place. And that's why I would recommend people to see not only that, the Jay report, but also the report, the unofficial report called Easy Meat. You could Google that.
I think we linked it.
Yes. That's on the pages.
I think we linked it for you. I remember reading that, but I do not see it at the moment. Maybe you could send it to me, and I'll put it on the page.
Sure. It was there last time I looked earlier.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just not seeing it.
The page is to fourfreedoms.com.
Yeah, because this is amazing. I mean, they had before we launch into this again, take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to continue this scary and alarming discussion with our friend Kinana Nadir from London this morning. You are listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. You were young. And your mama, good song,
was an open book. You used to say, didn't let me. This ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry. Say, live and let die.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I found out where I came.
Etch-a-Sketch, Legos, model trains. What was your favorite toy growing up? On September 20th, Turtle Bay Exploration Park hosts a brand new exhibition, Toytopia. This interactive, educational exhibit is fun for all ages. Kids can connect with toys their parents had, and parents can reminisce with their kids. Toytopia is supported by Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning and Dutch Bros Coffee, the Reznor family. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification require. Cancellation fee, auto pay, and paperless billing and other restrictions apply.
If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Only Dish brings you the best in entertainment for less than $20 a month. Cut the cable and don't get directed. Switch to Dish because at just $19.99, Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. It's so simple. The same channels cost less with Dish. So since you can't see the difference, don't pay the difference. Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Get premium movie channels free for 3 months, starting at just $19.99. Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. Call now to save with Dish. Dial 1-877-326-3861. That's 1-877-326-3861. The same channels for less than $20 a month. Dish. Call 1-877-326-3861 for details.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange has always believed that peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store with locations in Redding, Chico, Corning, and we're happy to announce the reopening of our store in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palisadro. To celebrate this, we're giving away a free personal stainless steel water filter bottle, a $32 value, with the purchase of a 200-serving emergency food bucket while supplies last. These are a convenient and versatile food storage product. Just add hot water for quick meals at home or grab and go if you have to evacuate. And don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Redding, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And once again in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Center. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
When I see a woman on the news who didn't ask to be abandoned or abused, it doesn't matter who she is, I think about you. 8 years old,
if you sang that with a Muslim accent, it'd take on a whole new meaning, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yikes.
Interesting how perfectly nice songs on our show take on an evil twist. So I was looking at the article, Kinana, on here, and it says here in 2002, Ann Cryer, who was a Labor Party MP, I'm not sure what that means exactly, politically, but it says that she complained to the police about, quote, young Asian lads raping girls in her constituency. In her words, she was, quote, shunned by the elements of her party, unquote. It was demanded by the left in the UK that she was not allowed to mention that the rapists were Pakistani, lest Muslims be blamed for the evil. They were, quote, Asian lads. Well, that's kind of creepy.
That's typical of the treatment of anything. If a Muslim does something illegal or something untoward, they use the media uses terms like Asian or Pakistani. Both those terms are insulting to Pakistani people who are Christian or of no faith.
Even Asians.
Same with Asian. Yeah.
Jeez, poor people. Know. I mean, they're do you have a very big Asian population there?
Oh yes.
Oh okay. I was thinking maybe they blamed them because there's not that many people there. But okay.
No. And Asian, of course, refers to all sorts of people that other than Muslim Asians from Pakistan or India. I mean, Sikh men have never been involved in this type of criminality, and very very few Hindus have. And there's no evidence of Pakistani Christians or Pakistani Hindus being involved in these gangs.
Well, it also says in here the National Review editor Rich Lowry reported that in a BBC documentary, the author of a 2002 report to the Rotherham Council on the scandal said her work was quashed when she noted that the perpetrators were from the Pakistani community. A colleague told her, "You must never refer to that again. You must refer to Asian men." She was sent to diversity training, and by her account, she was nearly fired.
Yeah.
So obviously, this has been coming up over and over, and it's kind of like, okay, you don't get to talk about that anymore.
Yes, there's snippets of public outcry historically, but it's been very mooted, and then soon disappeared off the public pages, and has perpetuated the victims' plight and the increase in numbers. And the government knew, well, those who wanted to look, all they had to do is cross the channel and see that similar thing was happening in Holland. And that the Muslims there were from Turkey and Morocco. So what connects Muslims from Turkey and Morocco and Pakistan and India? Well, obviously, it's Islam. But people wanted to refuse to look at any sort of linkage between this whole process and the ideology or the mindset behind it. And many in the Muslim community, when faced with these statistics, are like David Cameron's, and there's no evidence that Islam is linked to it, or one report says no evidence that this sort of activity is sanctioned by any religion. And yet, you know, I'd ask, well, give us chapter and verse. Whereas there's plenty of evidence, just the opposite, that can be quoted to them about how Islam deals with women, how Muhammad dealt with women and girls. Muhammad married a girl when she was six and so-called consummated that marriage when the girl was nine. Her name is Aisha. So if we're not going to deal with the reality of Islamic history and theology and how it informs the mindset of these young Muslim men and older Muslim men, then we're never going to solve the problem. We cannot, you know, defeat the enemy unless we identify the enemy clearly.
Well, that just proves the point that, you know, that ideology is just not you can't fold that into Western culture. I mean, it's never going to work.
You shouldn't be able to fold it into any culture.
Well, if they had their own island and they could live their own life, like, you know, let them try. But what happens? You have that ideology and mindset and cultures throughout the world. And what happens to the poor people? They want to leave. They want a better life. So where do they come? They come to America and to England and Europe.
Yeah.
And then when they're there, they still want to be Muslim. And then they learn what Islam's about, and they just, some of them get really radicalized.
Yeah, which makes no sense. And interesting, the end of this article really caught me, and that's what made me send you a note. It's like, okay, we need to talk about this. Because he says, the answer is clear and important for the multicultural left and the victim status groups it defends, and for the millions of young people the left has indoctrinated at schools and universities. Whether something is true or not, is what matters. What matters is whether it can be deemed offensive by the left. Oh, sure. My gosh, we are so seeing that here. He says, yeah. Some 1,400 girls were raped by gangs of men. Quote, while one girl was being raped, the rest of them, all in their 20s, stood over her, cheering and jeering and blinding her with the flash of their cameras. Thanks to the leftism's moral-denying doctrine of multiculturalism. This is but one more example of the most important moral rule since the beginning of the 20th century. Almost everything the left touches is either damaged or ruined. In this case, it was the lives of 1,400 English girls.
Mm.
I thought, well, there you go.
Yeah, the background of that is, of course, the multicultural line is that all cultures are morally the same. All cultures are equivalent. If you just treat people the same, such as proper wages, proper housing, same benefits, same in this country, the relationship to health care, that people will behave, you know, pretty much the same. But the left refuses, and many of the elite refuse to think, because they're atheist, perhaps, that belief systems have an effect on human behavior. That's why belief systems exist. And
right.
And in Islam, the behavior, the model behavior in Islam is their leader Muhammad, who did all these things.
And so for the people who would tell you, see, it's interesting because we've had you on, we've had other people who have done a tremendous amount of study in that ideology, and right there in the writing, it's okay to lie to all of us.
Yes.
You know, it's okay to tell us whatever they need to tell us because their job is to dominate us. Well, so then how do you know? If the people that are pretending to be the really nice, moderate, low-key, you know, not fully on the team, don't own long knives folks, how do you know that they're for real?
Yeah.
And that's something people don't want to say.
One of the rationales for why this was not sort of dealt with by the people who actually were there on the scene, the Muslims themselves, was that it's very clear in the Quran that you're not supposed to take non-Muslims, Christians and Jews and other non-Muslims, as your friends. You don't report on other people in the Ummah. You're supposed to hang together. You're supposed to, you know, not turn people into the dirty, filthy kafir. And we are considered non-Muslims are considered dirty by devout Muslims. If you look at Quran 9:28, we are what's the term is najis things. But I mean, there's all sorts of Quranic injunctions which supports and promotes sex slavery, particularly in a time of war. And there are Muslims here who believe we are in war. This country are at war with the Ummah. So hence you get killings in New Jersey, you get beheadings in London, you get, and then if you're in a situation of war, you're allowed to do whatever you want with what your right hand possesses. Sorry, that's a term that's mentioned four times in the Quran, and that refers to sexual slavery.
Wow. So what do you, I mean, it comes down to what do you say to all the folks that say, well, that's just a few people? I mean, it seems to be cropping up everywhere.
Sure. What I would say is, fortunately, it is a few people, but how many few people is too many? And also the other thing is that's to misunderstand the power of the teachings of Islam. These few people and don't act alone. They're in a gang. People in a gang are known by other people. So the mindset of this grouping is informed by the teachings that unite these groups, and that is Islam. And so even if there's a few people now, like with Obama deals with ISIS and get rid of them, and there's a pause, the teachings always inform the believers. And the believers know how to behave because they are taught that. They know what is permissible, what is halal, and what is haram. They want to be good Muslims. So they will try to impose Sharia law. They will enforce the injunctions of the Quran, because that's what they believe is the truth. And their life, in terms of their long-term, you know, salvation depends on it. So it's a matter of belief.
Well, I think another thing that, is a little different now is their ability to recruit in modern times. I mean, with the internet, communication is instant, where in the past, recruiting was more localized with your own tribes or your own towns. Now, I mean, look at the people that are joining their fight from all nations.
Yeah.
And that's a game changer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see the pictures, and some of these people are certainly not Arab.
You know,
people from Chechen, redheads from, you know, this country, people speaking in perfect English language when on YouTube and messages there. Yeah, they're on fire. They believe it.
Well, we hear it almost every day of another American that's fighting for ISIS in Syria. So I mean that's. That's going to be a game changer for their ability to grow if we don't get on the bandwagon and realize what we're up against.
Well, we have to counter their propaganda with our propaganda. And propaganda is not necessarily a bad word. It is about telling the truth about Islam. We have to, and I know in this country, and perhaps it's the same in America, the schools, anything that's mentioned in the public sphere, in the schools, is either a half truth or a lie, mm-hmm. or non-significant facts,
right?
And that's forms people's mindsets as they grow older, and that's something everyone can do, is find out what is happening, what is being taught, both in the media and in the schools, and is being taught to society and to our children.
Yeah.
Just one little personal thing: my father told me once about what one thing that he knew. But he didn't know enough. He couldn't quote the verse, but he knew as a schoolboy, he understood Quran 9:29. 9:29 is about Islam offering non-Muslims three choices. One, conversion. Two, submission. Or three, war. And under the submission, you're allowed to live in a Muslim society as long as you allow yourself to be subdued and to be made to feel subdued. And my father said that he learned in school that part of that process is that you're brought to the square and you're slapped either on the head or on the cheek in public. And that's exactly what has happened in his Islamic history, and is part of the process that we see. Whenever radical Muslims take over a society, they're going to try to impose. So to sort of paraphrase Bob Dylan, is that as a society, we knew more then than now.
But if you convert, isn't it true that if you convert to Islam, then you're you're kind of reclassified and they're obligated to kill you?
No. If you convert to Islam, I mean, you've joined the Ummah. You're part of the
but you're never fully
clan, the brothers and sisters.
Yeah, you're never fully on the team, though, right? I think there's a hold on. We better take another quick break, or we won't have time for it. we'll be right. Okay, you're going to straighten us out on that. We're obviously dopey infidels here. We'll have dopey infidel re-education here in the last 5 minutes. Our guest, Kanana Nadir, is hanging out with us from London this morning. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Got to put myself back in that place again. Well, when you're down on your luck and you ain't got a buck, in London you're a goner. Even London Bridge has fallen down and moved to Arizona. Now I know why, and I'll substantiate the rumor that the English sense of humor is drier than the Texas sand. You can put up your dukes, or you can bet your boots, but I'm leaving just as fast as I can.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 25th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training.
Good thing these big boys aren't in the race.
Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins and you can be the winner of $5,000 cash or a houseboat trip on Shasta Lake.
We've got to be ready for the 28th at 2:30 for the big drop.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 28th at 1 p.m.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
And have you forgotten how it felt that day? See your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside going through a living hell.
Nice. Well, we end as we started. Okay, Kanana, give us a little wrap up here. We've got, you know, a minute and a half.
Oh no!
It just never is long enough.
I know. The on the point that Bill made is that if depends on when you convert to Islam. If you convert to Islam when you're in the midst of battle and you're losing the battle, your conversion is no protection. That's from I get from stories of in Islamic theology and history. So in that sense, Bill is right, but it depends on the timing.
Mm.
What do I say? Just one little story for Muhammad. He said there was another battle, the Battle of Khaybar. Muhammad said to one of his people came to him and said, "O Allah's Prophet, give me a slave girl from the captives." And Muhammad said, "Go and take any slave girl." And then he also said, after the battle, the women of Khaybar, where the history says the women of Khaybar were distributed among the Muslims. Of course, they were distributed as part of their war booty. And so that sort of attitude toward women continues to this day, and there's nothing that Islam can do to change that because it's endemic to the teaching and to the life and example of Muhammad himself.
And ignore that at your peril, I guess.
Yes, society is blissfully ignorant until it's too late.
Exactly, and I think the Brits and the Americans are figuring that out. At least they should be. We've got plenty of examples, and we're losing people over there at the hand of these folks in really barbaric ways. Thank you, Kanana, for coming on with us. And for people who would like to review kind of where we've been with him, wethepeopleradio.us has all the links back to March of 2011.
Right. Thank you for the opportunity to speak again.
Yep. Thanks a million.
Thanks for coming on.
This has been We the People on KCNR Shasta Redding.
On Fox News Sunday, last night the Islamic State released a video of the beheading of a British aid worker. Australia is on board the coalition against IS, Prime Minister Tony Abbott committing 600 troops and up to 10 military aircraft to the increasingly aggressive campaign. Abbott says Australia is responding to a formal request from the U.S. Ukraine's president is to address a joint session of Congress later this week. We get a preview from SRN's Capitol.